Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church, a place of spiritual cultivating, loving care, and creating great commissioning experiences. And now, an anointed word from Pastor Norman E. Curley.
So the facts of the world, that's reality. But faith looks beyond reality and give a righteous witness of God's ability to do the impossible. That's what faith does. Faith doesn't say this don't exist. Faith said this may exist, but God exists as well. Faith literally sees God in control of everything. Even in our pain and our tragedy and our sufferings, when people lose loved ones and sometimes at a home going, people try to figure out what happened. God is still in control. We don't have all the answers, but we trust the God that we believe that he's still in control. We talked about this thing about joy. Joy is just something that we should have, not just during seasons, but it should be something that we have at all times. And so we phrased it, 'tis the season to be joyful. We gave you three things that affect our joy. And we talked about how to sustain joy so that it is uninterrupted. And we said one of the things was, you got to reverse the curse of chaos and confusion by pursuing paths of peace. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. You want to be a peacemaker. The second thing we said, resolve to exercise your peace on every assignment, regardless of the conflict. The Bible says, follow peace with all men, with as much that lies within you. Now, you can't make another person have peace toward you, but you can have peace in your heart. You can go in a situation and try to, you know, resolve it and to bring peace in it, and the person may reject you. They may curse you out. But how many know you've done your part? So you can shake the dust off your feet and go on and have the peace of God in your heart, knowing what? I've forgiven them. I've reached out to them. They rejected my peace. Know why? Because they didn't have peace. Jesus told the disciples when he sent them out to 70, he said, go out, and when you go in a house, you know, say shalom, say peace. And if my peace is there, remain there. But if my peace is not there, you go ahead and move on. Why? Because they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the message of Christ. And the last thing we said, you got to rest your mind by agreeing with God's view and voice concerning you. See, when you have the joy of the Lord, when that joy is uninterrupted, you're a peacemaker, you're striving to live a life of peace. How many know there are times when people will literally begin to form their opinion of you? They'll begin to judge you. They'll begin to lie on you. They'll begin to talk behind your back. They'll begin, as the Bible says, speak evil of you. I mean, you can't wear that badge and develop insecurity in your life and be paranoid, worrying about what people think and what they're saying. So how do I deal with that, Pastor? I have to take God's opinion of me. I have to take God's view of me. I have to listen to what God is saying about me, and that will give me peace. Some people don't have peace because they're worrying about what somebody else think about them. Or they go to people and say, you know, what did I do? Can you tell? A lot of times you haven't done anything. Those are just some unhappy, miserable people. And no matter what you do, you say, okay, I did this, well, I did that. They really don't want peace. So they got you going through these hurdles of trying to, you know, find out how can you resolve and stuff. You got to shake that dust off your feet and say, you know what, God, I'll let you be the judge of this. And so as I was praying, the Lord began to minister to my heart that when it comes to joy, first of all, we got to understand that the joy we're talking about, not you going around putting a, you know, a smile, a grin. I mean, you should be happy. You should be joyful, but it's not just something on the outside. But this joy we are talking about, it is a sanctuary of truth and power that God places on the inside of you. Therefore, no matter where you are or what circumstance you're in, there is a sanctuary of truth and power that God has given you. Get this. This is not the joy of the world, but this is the joy in the world. When Jesus came, when Christ came, the Bible declares in Luke 2:10-11, that the angel said this. The angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. How many know joy came in the world? Jesus, when he came into the world, he brought joy and peace into the world. We even have a song that birthed out of this verse. It goes like this. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room and heaven and nature sing. Notice, let earth receive her king. The world have not received the king. They hear about the king. They know about the king. But the Bible say, let her receive the king. When you receive Christ, you receive joy. And you receive peace. We can say it like this, that the sanctuary of truth and power, it came with the messenger, which is Christ the Savior. Christ transferred it through the message, which is God's word. And it is possessed by the members, which is the body of Christ. And we are therefore called to manifest this joy, get this now, daily and dutifully. So that tells me this, that whatever I am doing relative to duty, work, job, serving, I am to be doing it out of this sanctuary of truth and power, which is literally the joy of the Lord. Let me say it like this. You should have joy on your job. You should have joy when you're serving God. And too many Christians are on jobs that they are not reflecting the joy of God. Now, the devil, the enemy, is always out to do what? To try to rob your joy. And we sang about it, the world didn't give and the world didn't take. No, no, the devil is always out to try to rob your joy. And so we have to develop the right attitude relative to the blessing and benefits that joy brings on the job. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God spoke this in my heart. Believers have to get the right attitude toward their jobs. And sometimes there are certain blessings and benefits that does not manifest in the workplace because we are not taking the joy of the Lord there. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. So I want to give you some of the blessings and benefits of having joy in your work, a joy in your serving. The first benefit is this. You stand out among the crowd for the glory of God. In Genesis, when God created the world, how do you know God literally went to work? Look in Genesis chapter 1. The Bible say in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And in other words, we see the beautiful creative story of God's wonderful universe. Where did the world come from? God created the world. And the Bible goes down and talk about what God did each day. You know, he did this, he did that, and he came, and then he created man. And then verse 31, something, God saw that everything he had made, and indeed it was what? It was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Chapter 2 said, thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended what? His work. God show us here, this is how it works in the earth. You have to work. Listen, God could have created the world just like that, but he's showing us a pattern. So it says in verse 2, and on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. So what God is showing us? God is showing us there's a time to work, and there's a time to rest. Hallelujah. And some people don't have joy at work because they don't get the rest they need to go back to work. They go to work tired. Sometimes Christians got a poor witness at work. But God worked and then he ended his work. And he said on the seventh day from his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because in it he rested from all the work which God had created to make. Now notice, God blessed the seventh day and he did what? He sanctified it. Listen, Christian, listen. We got to realize there is a day that's supposed to be sanctified. There's a day in our life that's supposed to be, get this, set apart for rest. And I believe that God is showing us, get this now, how to be able to take care of the temple. Now your seventh don't have to be a Sunday, but there need to be within that 7 day period a time for you to rest. Now listen, I had to repent when I studied this. I say, Father, forgive me for not having a Sabbath. So a Sabbath literally means, it doesn't mean you get weird. Somebody call you, I can't answer the phone, this is my day of rest. Now it may depend on who the person is. It may be right to do that. But what I'm saying is, it's a day where you pull out, where you're not dealing with issues and things in life, but you rest, you relax, you find something you enjoy doing. You find a good book that you want to sit down and read. Get this. If we don't put this into our life, it will never come. Now come down to verse number 7. It says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Thank God for creation. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had what? Formed. Look at verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to do what? To tend it and make it, to work. He said, okay, I'm going to create a man, but I'm going to put a man where? In an environment where he can work. I'm going to put mankind in an environment where they can do something productive with their lives. Work is not a curse. I'm just being honest. Work is not a curse. It is a blessing from God to be able to work. There are people who are unable to work, and what they struggle with in their life, boy, if I could only get back to work. And there are people who can work, and what they struggle with in their life, I hope I don't ever go to work. Why do God want man to work? Number one is this, so man can represent him in the earth. Because when he came and created the world, he called it work. And also Proverbs 14 and 23 says this, in all labor there is profit, but mere talks lead only to poverty. In other words, in work there is opportunity for God to bring increase in our lives. That's why the Bible say, 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says this, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule that one who is unwilling to work shall not what? Paul said the order of the church is Christians who can work but will not work should not eat. Because he understood that work was ordained by God. In Jeremiah 29 and 7, get this, sometimes when people are on a job, they say all kinds of negative things about that job. I hope the company burned down. Where are you going to go to work? I'm just showing you. You have to have the right attitude toward the job. That doesn't mean everybody in there just nice and all this stuff. Yes, there's some suffering on that job. There could be some people that's just difficult to deal with on that job, but that's everywhere in life. It's in our families. I want us to remember, we are there to represent Christ. We're not there to get this now, to, as folks say, try to please people. We're there to represent Christ. I'm a Christian on this job. I don't need to wear the T-shirt. Look how I handle my attitude. But God sees my life at work. You can do all kinds of things as you call get over on them because, quote, they ain't paying you enough. We find some way to justify being unfaithful. Amen. You got to remember, you work for God. You represent the kingdom. God created you for work. God put you in that environment. God's going to bring increase to your life. You don't mess up your blessing with that kind of foolishness. You say, well, Pastor, what if I don't like my job? Listen to Jeremiah 29 and 7. Israel didn't like where they were. They were being treated like slaves. But look at the attitude that God told them. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. They're not in Jerusalem. They're in Babylon. They're being treated like slaves. And God said, get this, here's the key word. I carried you there. If you believe God bless you to have that job, you got to act like it. And no matter how difficult it may get, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. You got to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the shame, endured the suffering. You got to endure some things on that job. Listen, God is using that job to get Christ out of you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sometimes God will put you in a relationship with a certain person. So get this now. So you'll learn how to relate to him better in the relationship. Sometimes you may tell somebody, you bringing all kind of stuff out of me. I hope it's God's stuff. I hope it's God's stuff. You should tell them, boy, you bringing all kind of God stuff out of me. Mercy and patience and long suffering and gentleness and godliness. You're bringing it out of me. Because God will use relationships to bring Christ likeness out of you. Either you're going to act like Christ or you're going to act like his enemy, the devil. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's fruit on the inside of you. And God didn't give you fruit just to look like a fruit tree and attract people to you. God put fruit in your life so people that need that fruit can pluck it out of you. So if they need joy, get it from me. If they need mercy, get it off my tree. If they need long suffering, come pluck on me. I'm a fruit tree for the kingdom. Glory to God. And the fruit of the Spirit God has developed in my life now. I'm talking to real Christians. Not perfect people, but real Christians. There's some fruit that's still being developed on you. And that little piece of fruit, it may be small and haven't gotten to its full development, but you keep waiting. God's working it out on you. He said, you in Babylon, don't get there hating on people who not like you. Don't get there disliking people because they don't practice the same cultural practices you practice. But when you get there, you pray for the peace of that city. Because as it prosper, you're going to get your blessing. If you don't believe me, ask Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, turn there real quick, Daniel chapter 6. Daniel was one of the Hebrew boys that were in Babylon that was taken over as slaves, literally, him and the three Hebrew boys and all those other individuals. And when they got over into Babylon, how many know the Babylonian king recognized there was something different about this Daniel? Daniel wasn't just an employee. When Daniel came to work, it was something different. So in Daniel chapter 6, the Bible says it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. So this King Darius, when he got on the throne, he starts setting up some kind of organizational structure to run the country. And over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give an account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. So the king set up what? He set up a system of authority. And he set up these 120 leaders, and he put three leaders over the 120 leaders. Therefore, they were responsible for different regions. Then this Daniel, now notice, distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. This Daniel stood out from the crowd. He distinguished himself. How did Daniel distinguish himself? He represented God in that environment. Those other leaders had no godliness in them. They were men who worshiped idol gods. But Daniel stood out in the crowd. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Listen, Daniel stood out so much on that job that the king was thinking about promoting Daniel to be the next man in charge. Saints, when you stand out, promotion will come. When you stand out, increase will come. See, we got to have the right attitude. Say attitude. I'm not lessening the fact that there are some difficulties on your job. I'm not naive to the fact that there are evil people sometimes in position on your job. That's the world we live in. I'm not denying the fact that racism is not on your job. But I come to tell you that there's a sanctuary of truth and power called joy that you take to work. And nobody should take that joy from you. It goes on to say, then there these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning what? Concerning the law of his God. You know what they're saying? Daniel has such integrity on this job. Daniel has such a quality of work that we can't find nothing against him relative to his integrity. So let's mess with him relative to his commitment to his God. They knew that Daniel was truly a representative of God on that job. And because of jealousy, how many know people will get jealous when you stand out? They call you, you know, you licking up to the man and all this kind of stuff. They got all kinds of stuff. You get promoted on a job, they're jealous of you. Instead of working with you, they try to work against you. And these so-called friends you thought you had, you find out that they're jealous of you. Instead of looking out for your back, they're trying to stab you in the back. They want to see you fail. But if God be for you, who can be against you? And if God put you there, can't nobody take you out. And if they remove you, they didn't remove you. God promoted you. I'm talking about a sanctuary of joy and power called joy that you take to work. God's got some things he wants to bring to pass in your life. And until your attitude change, he can't work it out. Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years all because they had a bad attitude. They murmured and complained. They disobeyed God. And God had to wait till a whole generation died out until he got some guys who had the right attitude and said, look here, if God be for us, who can be against us? So the Bible say they say we'll come against his God. Now, this is a great testimony. If you look at verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees, what? 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as was his custom since what? Since the early days. Daniel had a consistent prayer life. That's the key to your joy. When you are not at work, you've got something in place where you spend time with God. Some people know this. It makes a difference when you pray before you go to work. And the Bible says that's what Daniel did. He continued his prayer life. Then verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making what? Supplications before his God. If they talk about you well at anything at work, let it be because of your commitment to God. Let it be because of your commitment to Christ. So they caught Daniel up. They caught him praying. And see, what happened was they convinced the king to send out an edict, a decree, that anybody in 30 days who prayed to any other god beside the king would be cast into the lion's den. Daniel kept praying. King found out Daniel was still praying to his God. How many know they ended up putting Daniel in the lion's den? Daniel went in the lion's den because of his faith, not foolishness. And because of his faith, how many know God shut the mouth of the lion, and the lion could not harm Daniel. And when the king went back and looked for Daniel, oh, Daniel, oh, Daniel, did your God deliver you? Oh, yes, king, he did. God will deliver you when you honor him on that job. Oh, somebody hear what I'm saying. God will raise you up if you honor him on that job. Daniel honored God on that job. They threw Daniel in the lion's den, and the lions went over and just looked at him. Couldn't touch him because God's anointing was on him. When God's anointing is on you, they can't touch you. They can't hurt you. They can't bring you down. God's anointing is on your life. And the same ones that were jealous and the same ones that tried to work against them lost their job, lost their lives, and lost their families. You stand out among the crowd when you honor God. That's the way the kingdom works. The second benefit is you set up yourself for God's appointed timetable of divine favor. We're talking about how to have joy at work. How to have joy in what you're doing. Even though Israel was in Babylonian captivity, God told them when they went in, you're going to be in there for 70 years. Then he was going to bring deliverance. He let them know that I'm not destroying you. I'm chastening you. I'm disciplining you. Read Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3. And the lesson was this. God took them through the wilderness to humble them. The Bible says he led them in the wilderness to humble them. Before they got into the blessing, God had to teach them humility. God will use the workplace to humble us. Another reason that God took them through the wilderness so they could learn obedience, so they can learn how to obey God. And the third reason was so that they could learn how to depend on God. When God gave them manna from heaven, that manna was not only designed to meet their daily need, but to restrict them that you're going to have to learn how to live within the parameters that God has set for you. Therefore, you got to trust him every day. They didn't go out and work for their food and get all they want. God said the only food you're going to get is manna from heaven. What he was teaching them? He was teaching them dependence on me. Listen, even though you are working your job, your dependence is not on that job. Your dependence is on the Lord. We got to grab that. God will place you in an environment, not so you can become so independent from him, so that you can depend more on him. And the last one is this. You seek sacrificial opportunity to advance God's agenda in the earth. In Deuteronomy 28, we talk about the blessing. And it's true. God has called us into a kingdom of blessing. And Deuteronomy 28 also talks about the curse that comes. But in Deuteronomy 28:47, the scripture says this. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemy. Saints, whenever you are serving God, whenever you are doing something for the glory of God, you got to do it with joy and you got to do it with gladness of heart. And you got to do it with a thankfulness. When we're serving in God's kingdom, we got to understand there are blessings that's going to come to your life because you're serving in God's kingdom. When Jesus, when the disciples came to him, want to know who's going to be the greatest? Jesus what? He took a towel of a slave. He wrapped it around him. He took a basin of water and he got down and he started washing their feet. That the washing of the feet was the job of a slave, was the ministry of slaves. They wore sandals and their feet was always dirty. And when they came in, they relaxed back and all of a sudden the slave would come and stoop down and wash the guest's feet. And Jesus took the basin and washed those disciples' feet. And Jesus said, what you see me doing, this is what you need to do. If you want to be great, be a servant. And if you think about it, in Acts chapter 6, when what we call deacons ministry came in the church, it came in the church because of the problem that existed due to church growth. The church started growing to a point whereby the apostles could not take care of managing the needs of the people. And they said, we've got to what? We've got to get men full of faith, full of wisdom, full of the Holy Spirit so they can do what? So they can manage tables, so they can what? Distribute food out to people and it's done fairly. You know what it'll be like? It'll be like working at Harvest Hope, distributing food so that people what? Can make sure they get food and not be judged because they are not Jews and treated a certain way in the church. So what he's showing us? He's showing us when it comes to serving, our attitude should be this. I just want to help people. And so when God calls us and we're called to serve, we're called to serve with a sacrificial mindset. I'm willing to make sacrifices in order to advance the kingdom of God. Exodus 23, 25 says this, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and water, and he will take sickness away from you. How many know God will bless you when you serve? But you got to serve with the right attitude. But we need to find out how can I employ my gift to advance the kingdom? Not to just be up in church preaching all the time. Because you find people, preach. How many know there are places out there we need to be preaching? Trust me. Prison need preachers. Nursing home need preachers. The street need preachers. All kind of organizations need somebody who can what? Handle the word of God. Saints, listen, we only come here for equipping. So we can go out there and do what? The work of the ministry. Now, sometimes our church get judged because we don't have a program in the evening. We don't have a program. We don't have this going on and all that going on. Saints, I'm telling you, my heart is this, that I believe God has called the church to look outside the walls of the church. And a lot of those programs, listen, those are fundraisers. They're trying to raise money. The pastor and the deacons in the back, how much did we raise? How much did we raise? If you teach people how to give tithes and offering, God will bless them. God will prosper them. It'll dawn on them. This thing work. Honoring God with the first fruits of all your increase. Man, God will bless you. Hallelujah. I'll tell anybody, tithing works. Nobody need to hijack you and force you to tithe. Eventually, if you are born again, God and you are going to get the money. It should settle. And you're going to honor God with a tenth with joy. I get excited when it's time for me to give. I get excited when God bless me and God bless me with abundance. I'd be excited about being able to give more. I'm not looking like, oh, that's a big check. I'm like, God, make it bigger because I want to give more to the kingdom. Here's this. Can God trust you with more? God knows your heart. Can I trust you with more? Can I bless you with hundreds of thousands and you will honor me with it? How many know God will bless your bread? He'll bless your water. But he want to know, will you be a blessing with it? Hallelujah. God want your joy to be truth and power out of the sanctuary of your heart. And God want you to be able to trust him because he is the one who calls you to stand out among the crowd. He set you up for promotion and divine favor at set time. And he seeks sacrificial opportunity so he can advance or you can advance his agenda in earth. That's the heart you want to have.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church. We're located at 3100 Trotter Road in Southeast Columbia, where Norman E. Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. worship and 7 p.m. Wednesdays for an engaging, insightful, and anointed Bible teaching. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at wordalivesc.com. Tune in next time for Word Alive Broadcast Ministries. Thank you.